The book of Ecclesiastes. We looked at a number of things over the last weeks. We are going to be looking at the subject today of how we find or finding meaning or life in the midst of meaninglessness in the area of work. In the area of work. Work is, if we want to call it, if we want to think about it, is pretty normalized. It is often misunderstood. It is rarely questioned as to whether we should or shouldn't do it. And it often takes up a better part of our lives. It is ingrained with meaning. Often it has purposes and value, and there, from it come out practical skills and different outcomes. It is a place in which often our character is developed, where ambition is lived out, where we sometimes engage in fear and regret and even dread. Now, for some of us, it is far less than maybe it should be, and for others, it may be far more than it should be. And often what we do is we confuse making a life for making a living. Many of us are going to enter careers. We're going to work as believers. Maybe you are like myself, that when I entered the workforce, I was a Christian already, but maybe for some of you, you were an unbeliever when you entered the workforce, and then when you became a Christian, you had to learn how to work as a Christian. You had to navigate these different things, and you had to understand faith and what work means, and to put those together, and how is my fulfillment helped or hindered by what I do? We need to comprehend what Robert Morgan has said. He said, "God didn't call me to find fulfillment in the quantity of my work for Him, but in the quality of my walk with Him." Now, we can do a lot of different work, and not all work is for pay. We will mow the lawn. We will commit to the greatness of being a stay-at-home mom or dad. Others will maybe have a career with benefits and titles and degrees behind their name. Others will be entrepreneurs and start businesses and have ambitions and desires. Others will get a job, if you want to put it that way, that'll pay the bills. And not much will change, while others will start in the mailroom or start in a low-level position and work their way up through an organization. Where do we find life in the midst of this all? More importantly, where do we find a fulfilled life of meaning and of joy and of satisfaction? And what I pray today is that we might be able to, by God's grace, come to some helpful answers. And you may be at different stages. Maybe you're a young person and you haven't entered work. Or maybe you think that cleaning your room is work, which if you go by the definition, it might be. Or you might be at a low-level thing. Maybe you're flipping burgers at McDonald's. Maybe you're running a business. Maybe you're retired. But in one way or the other, we all have work to do. And what we want to do is begin by giving a bit of a summary of the meaninglessness of work. We looked at this whole subject a few weeks ago, but we want to take and reintroduce ourselves to that topic again. We looked at how work can be defined as this: as something we must do when we would rather be doing something else. Something that we must do when we would rather be doing something else. We found that in Ecclesiastes it says that work is a toil, that it is trouble, that it is hardship, that it is all pretty much meaningless under the sun. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 6, it says, "Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after wind." And in verse 6, "Better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind." In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 16, we read this: "This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind?" Further along in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7, "All the toil of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied." Generally, these passages speak negatively of our work. It concludes that much of what we do is because we either envy a person's power or their position, where we work, or we work so that we can keep things together and we can find some kind of lasting satisfaction. And basically, what he's telling us is that work is set up in such a way that even in the early stages of humanity, it has been nothing but trouble. It has been nothing but hardship, nothing but toil, nothing but grievous working pointlessly under the sun. In Genesis chapter 3, 17 to 19, we see that God describes the consequences of what work has become because of sin, because of the curse of sin. And it makes our work full of pain and sweat. And in the end, it says simply that we return to the very dirt that we're working in. This is not how it was before the fall. Before the fall, there was still work. In Genesis chapter 1, 28 to 30, God says that he provided the plants and he provided the animals. There was still things to be done, but it wasn't work. Work should not be meaningless. It should not be toil, it should not be pain, it should not be sweat, it should not be all of these things, but because of sin, work is corrupted. Work being hard does not mean in itself that it makes it meaningless. Just because something is hard doesn't make it meaningless. In fact, at times it does the exact opposite. At times it is we infuse more meaning into work when it is harder to do. But we often make the mistake of putting into work things that it was never meant to produce. We try to pull out of it meaning that it was never intended to provide. And why do we do that? It is because we expect to get something out of it that we hope to achieve. But in more times than not, it is a striving after wind because it cannot deliver on what it promises. So what are some different ways that we make work meaningless? What are ways that we attribute worthless purpose to work? Let me just name a few. It becomes worthless purpose when we think that it is the pathway to attain material things. When we have this materialistic kind of attitude that is born often out of greed and out of envy, where the goal is to be wealthy and to gain all kinds of stuff, this makes work meaningless because that's not what it's intended to do. Another way in which we attribute worthless purpose to work is we think of it as a means to have a sense of contribution and ability to make decisions. This is about attaining control, either directly in our work or we somehow maybe create policies or affect profits or people in such a way that we can have control over our circumstances. It might even be that we want to earn all kinds of money that gives us all kinds of freedom so that we can do all kinds of things that we want to do and buy all kinds of things that we want because we want control over our lives. That is not what the purpose of money is or of work is. Third, it can be a way to feel valuable or to have self-worth. A job can provide your sense of worthiness, of feeling like you are a person, your self-esteem. Through this performance, through the approval of others that are around you, you gain this. But that is not what work has been meant to do. Another way in which people put perspectives on work that they shouldn't is that they see it as a means to gain influence. This is about the power to affect a group of people in a way that raises your value to them. That you might be, in your ideas and your actions, you're considered important, even indispensable, but that was not what work is meant to do. Further, it can be a desire to belong or feel significant by others. This is about being part of something that creates relationships. And perhaps you're looking to your work as kind of a safety net, maybe a security around you. It's almost like being part of an organization or being part of a gang. But that is not what work is meant to do. There is also the need to contribute to something bigger than ourselves. This can seem like it's self-sacrificing, but it actually comes from the impression that what I want to do is to find some kind of measurable value in this life through some kind of contribution societally or in the place where I am. But this is not what work is meant to do. So again, why is there no meaning here? Why is there no meaning in these things? Work as a means to money and stuff is a bottomless pit of I just need a little bit more, or I just need a little bit better, or I just need a little bit bigger. It's never ending. Work as finding control is fraught with red tape and other people's agendas and the uncertainty of life, and it is always frustrated. Work for gaining self-worth is performance-based and is kind of like a parking meter. It runs out of time all the time, and you always got to keep feeding it. Working for influence is always hunting for larger audiences or power and is never content with what it has. Working to belong is based on merit, and everyone is expendable, and you're only as good as your next performance because you're just a cog in a bigger machine. Working to contribute to something bigger is never a never-ending frustration because there's always more needs, a bigger cause, another disaster to solve. It's all meaningless. If we work full-time from when we are 20 years old until we are 65, we will have lived in that 45 years 394,000 hours. And we'll have expended approximately 90,000 of those in work. About 23% of those 45 hours in a job. And if our goals have been to attain material things, to seek control, to have personal self-worth, to have influence over others and belonging or making a contribution for self-fulfillment, we have taken 45 years of work. Something that God says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 13, that we should do, that we should work. And what we have done is we have utterly wasted it. We need to work. Our societies are designed for us to work. The mandate from God is to work. So how can we take something so prominent and find a fulfilling life in it when it is fraught with so much meaninglessness? Well, Ecclesiastes has good news and tells us that we can find fulfillment in our work. It's the trend of Ecclesiastes. On one hand, he tells you it's meaningless and pointless and hopeless and don't ever do it and don't even try and it's just a waste of your time. And then he turns around and says, just a couple of verses later, that it is exactly the opposite. In the context of what Solomon says, he is telling us that work is good because it is established as a gift of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, he tells us, there is nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. It's good. In other places in the book, we find that work is good because it is the intention of God. It is a task before us in this life. It is practical for our well-being. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 22. So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? Rejoice in your work. In your meaningless work? No, we'll see. Ecclesiastes 9, 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. And then just kind of a twist on it, in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18, kind of putting the kind of a negative spin on a positive thing, is through sloth the roof sinks in and through indolence the house leaks. He says work is good, keeps you dry. There is a value in work. How our work attains value or meaning is not self-creating. It is not naturally built into the idea or the practice of work. Work is not inherently valuable or meaningful. The value of it has to come outside of it. It comes chalked full of lasting meaning as we embrace the purposes that God intends for it. There are four, throughout scriptures, four purposes that I have found for work. The first is this. Your work has purpose because God says that our work is our calling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. He also says that God says that our work is a moral duty. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 7-12, and I'll just highlight verses 7 and 8. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It is a duty, a moral duty, that we work. It is in that same passage that he says that if you do not work, you should not eat. So it is something that is an ethical part of our lives. So we are supposed to work because God has called us to work, that he has assigned to us work for us to do. He has also said that work is our moral duty. But I would add this, that God says that our work is profitable. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, in all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. There is something profitable for work. From work. And it is the intention of God that there is profit in work. And that's why it has purpose. Then we also find that God says that another purpose is that we work for him. In Colossians 3, 23-24, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Our work is good. It has value. It is God-honoring when we maintain these four things as central, as prominent. We look at our jobs, and it could be anything. We might be washing dishes. It might be running a large corporation. It could be a stay-at-home mom or dad. We need to, in all these things, look to God first. There's not much more understanding that we need to have. There are, of course, all kinds of eternal value that are before us, but really, we don't see much of it. We don't understand much that goes on in terms of the eternal value of what we do, because it's pretty hard to figure out the eternal value of, say, running a damp sponge over 20,000 envelope flaps. We don't see a lot of purpose in many of these things. We are concerned, in many respects, with the here and now, what is going on around us. God has the eternal purposes all taken care of, but we can barely handle the here, never mind the future. We have to see our work as something that God has appointed for us to do. The desire to start that company, the desire to stay at home with those kids, to apply and get that job is ordained by God. He is in charge. Where God puts you is your calling. And maybe for that time and for his reasons. And this is about applying ourselves to our work because it is the means that God gives us for us to take care of the needs we have. If we are able, we are morally obligated to work, to not be a burden to others, to share the load. And this is about a practicality because a job brings profit. Not only to increase money, but character building, in preventing poverty, in being able to replace such things as just practical things like replacing an appliance in our house. This is about understanding that if we work for someone, our boss is not ultimately, he's not the one or she's not the one that we are ultimately accountable to. And this is the same in the home or if we work or own a business. Christians are working for God. We work hard, we work for the right reasons, we work with integrity because our intentions should be fixed on pleasing God. We are not taking vitals of a patient or ordering parts or repairing something broken or fixing our kids' lunch or serving burgers. We are serving Jesus Christ. Now, we can lose our meaning in work, and there are signs that you possibly have given up the understanding and value of meaning and meaning of work beyond what God intends or intends, and we may have simply lost its purpose in part or altogether when you see certain things happen. And I'm sure there's more things than I have listed here, but I have a few. And the first is this: you've kind of lost your entire purpose and meaning in work when you succumb to laziness and despondency. You have little motivation to work. You do not want to do really good at your work. You have trouble even getting up in the morning. You have no ambition, no desire to be challenged. You dream of doing anything else. You are 26 years old and you're thinking and talking about retirement. You might even consider crazy ideas like living on government assistance or moving into your parents' basement because you just don't want to work. Another sign that you may have lost the purpose of work is you do not recognize when you are stealing from your work. You might be taking some office supplies, using the photocopier for personal use without paying for it, or even to the extremes that maybe you have a misappropriated money and stealing tips or money from the register. But it is also other things. It is using your computer to go on Facebook or play games. It can be wasting time by taking extra time texting or long bathroom breaks or doing nothing when the boss is not watching because you're stealing time. Another thing that might indicate that you in part or in whole have lost the meaning of work is that the quality of your work has deteriorated. You don't care if you do a good job. You don't care if you try harder. You don't care if you put in the extra effort. You only just want to keep your job, and you have found out exactly what you need to do in order to do just the bare minimum so that no one notices you, so that you keep your job. That's a bad sign. Another thing that might indicate that you've lost your purpose in your work is you're only concerned with getting a paycheck. Or I should back up one. Your attitude has spiraled down into oblivion. You complain about your work to everyone. You're adversarial with your boss. You're angry, short-tempered with others at work. You are sarcastic and pessimistic. That might be a sign that you've lost your purpose of your work. The fifth is that you are not only concerned with getting the paycheck. You're willing to do anything. In fact, you'll give up integrity to make more money. It's not a good sign. Your ambitions are tied to earning more money because you desire more and more things, and you are obsessed with making sure that you have enough. You're thinking about all of your life, completely self-absorbed, and money is the key to it all. You've lost the purpose of work. Another sign is that your work is mainly what you do and think about. You would rather be spending your time at work than with your family. You bring your work home all too often, and you dread weekends and holidays, and you'd be willing to break a promise to someone that cares about you for the sake of your job. That's probably a bad sign. One more. Your work is how you create value. You connect things like increased sales and hours worked and growing the company and getting the next project done as what gives you value. Your identity, you identify yourself more by what you do than who you are. And you fear things like retirement because you don't want to be just a former something. You fear failure, and it's directly tied to who you think you are. You're more concerned with pleasing others, and you're even willing to compromise your Christian integrity because of it. You are driven by success measured by promotions and wage increases and awards. You've lost the purpose of work. Now, how do we make work meaningful? The first thing is that it comes down to attitude. It comes down to attitude. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, we read this. And whatever you do, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. One more. The attitude is tied to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We need to approach the work we do with the focused goal of doing it all for the glory of God. Do everything in the name of Jesus. Do all with thanksgiving. Do all with the honor of God at hand. And what this really is a remarkable thing. It is finding that if you apply this, if you live this, if your attitude is geared this way, what you will find is that your work becomes an 8 hour a day, a 5 day a week worship service. Gordon Dahl explains this as a full commitment to God while warning us of what it can often become. He says this, "Worship is the full commitment of one's life to God, but we have made our work the primary dimension of our lives. So it is little wonder that we experience worship as little more than an occasional pious exercise. We worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship." What if our attitude would be different and we would not worship our work, but we would worship at our work? Would that not change things? Would not our purpose and our integrity and our value in our work dramatically change? I hope so, because if not, we would have to seriously examine our Christian faith. We have to come to understand not only an attitude, but I would add this. It comes down to understanding and practicing the purposes of work. Your work is not designed to give you purpose or value or even be the means of giving you wealth and your wants. God intends different purposes that are to have us praise Him, to have us honor Him, to have us value the things that He values and He sets before us as the means and the purposes of our work. And if we do anything for any other reason, then we have lost the meaning and we are going to find unfulfillment in our work. We're going to find our work to be a dread. We need to see our work as certain things. First of all, your work is the place where you reach out to people who are lost. Your job, the place where you work, is a perfect place for you to set an example of Christ-like love in such a way that you win people to Christ, that you live and act in such a way that you will have opportunity for conversations with people that will bring the gospel to them. And this is no less true than if you are working at a job, if you are the boss of a business, or you are a stay-at-home mom or dad because your children need the gospel. We need to see our work is where God uses you to help those in need. Now, it might be some of the things that come firstly to mind, of being a doctor or being a nurse or being a police officer or a firefighter. You're saving lives, you're fixing people. Those are all wonderful things where we get to help people. But you know what? We got to think of the lesser things too. That perhaps all you're doing is you're providing someone a service that helps them to buy a product that they need to clean their clothes. You're helping someone who has a need. But we also should see our work as the place where God provides our needs. God is supplying your food and your housing and your transportation and your clothing through your job. He has told you that if I will not only care for the sparrow, I will take care of you. I have numbered every hair on your head. Some of us even the less or more of that, whatever it might be. But He understands us all and He takes care of us. And what He does is He gives you employment to take care of those needs. That is why He's working. And you know what? Even added to this, in His generosity, He even gives us more so that we can take a vacation or buy a TV. We need to see our work as a place where God builds our character. Sometimes we have a hard job situation and we have to learn patience and self-control and many, many other things. God is working on us in these environments to shape us with these kind of things, with kindness and mercy. The fruit of the Spirit is growing in the environment of your work. That's how we need to see it. And then we also need to see our work is where God provides so you can be generous. God does not give you a better job, or He does not give you greater pay. He does not give you increased salaries primarily for yourself. God wants us to live modestly and prudently so that we can give our money away. If we have what we need, our increased earning is so that God gifts us with these things so that we can contribute more to the work that God is doing. That is the purpose of it. I would say to you that you should try to earn as much money as you possibly can. I say if you own a business, you should try to make as much money as you possibly can, and then live as prudently as you can and give away as much as you can. That is the biblical formula. That is the glory that is going to come to Christ. That is the pleasure that you will find as you give and you see God working through what you have contributed. That is one of the purposes that God has. Now, I remember entering my first senior pastorate position. It was a part-time position, and so I had to work another job 2 days of the week. And in the beginning, I found this incredibly hard. I didn't doubt at all that God's calling was on my life to be in ministry, so it was difficult at times to have this divided attention. Where I really wanted to be was full-time, working in the church, doing the vocation that God had called me to do. That's where my heart really was. So I wrestled with my attitude. I wrestled with my purpose. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle at times to have a good attitude about it as I was working in minus 30 weather outside. It's not where I wanted to be. But you know what? What I'm thankful for is in that time, God impressed upon me that this was God's gift and that I should glorify Him in it. And I would not have been able to get through that. I did it for almost nine years if it was not for a change in perspective and attitude. So I'm thankful. And it was in these times that I was able to share the gospel more often. It is where I was able to supply a service that kept people warm in winter. It was where God provided food on my table and clothes on our backs. It is where God increased my patience and my trust in Him alone and in self-control. It is where I learned better what it was to be a giver and increasing my desire to be generous and the joy that comes with it. It is where God increased my ability to persevere, to have strength of will, and to find joy in life when it is not ideal. But it was also more. As I worked with other Christians, and I had a few that I did work with, God gave me opportunities to disciple them. I remember working with one guy that his faith was kind of nominal, and I was able and hopefully able to encourage him to embrace his faith more fully. It did more, though. It gave me a physical outlet, because when you work in the kind of work that I do, you're sitting at a desk often, or you're drinking coffee with people and visiting with people. It's pretty sedentary. And it gave me a physical outlet. 2 days a week, I had to go do physical labor, and that helped me to kind of keep my brain in perspective, and it was a good thing to have. But you know what it also did? It gave me a sense of accomplishment in many areas of my life, because, again, when you're a pastor, when you're doing ministry, is that I would love to see all kinds of tangible and physical results, but often I don't. I don't see what is the product. But when I was working in construction, then I could do some work, and at the end of the day, I'd see it was done, and I could see that, yeah, I had accomplished something. And so it helped in working through some of those things in my life. It also was a place in which He taught me. He instructed me in how to teach others and to be organized and to take greater risks and to trust God more when work was in short supply. It was where God gave me alone time to get back into a life of prayer and to worship, as I was often working by myself and I was able to listen to sermon podcasts and worship music. So it had all these wonderful benefits. Work has shaped me in many ways. But I know that I am not finding work as my meaning when I have before me the perspective that work is God's means in my life to bring Him glory and to fulfill His purposes in my life. Work, though, becomes meaningless and utterly disappointing when I take my eyes off of this truth. Now, what is work to you? Is it mind-numbing monotony? Is it anxious dread? How about boring mediocrity? Or is it a bigger house? Or a house at all? A cottage? Self-worth? Maybe it's letters behind your name or on the building. Is it escape? Or perhaps, is it greed? Or is it envy? Or is it purpose? Or is it power? Now, what if it was worship? What if it was evangelism? What if it was thankfulness? What if it was generosity? What if it was a stronger character? What if it was serving? If you are not finding that it is these things that Ecclesiastes and the Bible speaks about, perhaps your work has become your misplaced, unbiblical way of making a life rather than making a living. Let us pray.